Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where EV enthusiasts and owners share their experiences with their EVs. We talk about all things EVs as well as technology. We have a Will here.
What's up?
We got Will.
We got the pillow guy.
We got the pillow. We have Chase here. My name is Eric. We already have a comment. Chris is in the comments and he says, I'm going to guess that Eric got a Chevy Silverado EV.
Oh, wow. They're already jumping the gun on that. Wow. Okay.
So I will say this. I do have my new vehicle. Before we went live, I was talking to Chase about how I want to reveal that. So I'm going to wait for next week's episode to talk about that. But yes, I have mine. If you want to leave a comment of what you think I got, then by all means. And I don't have a great poker face, so if you get it right, you may see me.
It's probably not what you think it is.
Well, I mean,
Subaru.
It's a Subaru. Oh, EV. It's one of a kind.
You got a Pontiac Aztec.
Oh, so you're saying a Cybertruck.
Accurate, though.
So, well, I'm excited that the three Musketeers are back. It's not the same without you, Will, but I know you have your new job. How's that going?
Yeah.
It's going pretty well, honestly. I think that there's a lot of cool things coming in the short-term future for drone technology, the more that I get involved in
100%.
The way that it's being used, like, I full-on think that it could be within the next 5 years that they would just have a drone box mounted on a pole, kind of like a fire hydrant, one in every neighborhood, and they'll be able to remote pilot it, take off, provide support, land it wherever. I think that's not to speak also of like deliveries are coming, just, you know, ordering packages, ordering things for same day delivery and getting them by drone. It's already happening around the world now. It just needs to happen here. It's already.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then the drone, you know, that's technology that they're utilizing. And then, you know, I think at some point, you know, it's going to be iRobot with the Optimus or whatever patrolling the streets. I'm sure at some point. Yeah. I don't know if that's in our lifetime, but.
I don't know. I mean, we already see in the military applications. So pretty scary.
Yeah. I forget who the YouTuber was or somebody, but I think that they actually got hit with a cease and desist from ChatGPT because the guy made an auto-targeting rifle, and he could literally give it verbal commands on what kind of firing pattern, where to shoot, and which targets and when, and it would respond within a split second. Just bang, 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 brrr, you know, and it was deadly. And so I think ChatGPT was like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and stop you there.
Can't put that back in the box.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen that video. Yeah, he had it like up on a table, right? And he's just talking, and the thing's just moving. And
he kept improving it, and he kept being like, you know, it's like he could literally just describe, shoot at, you know, I think it got to a point that he talked about somewhere where it's like he could literally just describe something to shoot, and it would image recognize what that target should be and shoot it, you know, just by giving it a prompt.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. Speaking about coming,
podcast has changed since I was here.
Hey, we're going all in. If you
little edgy.
Oh my! So the new variant of the Cybertruck, which we haven't had an episode of the podcast since they've released this variant, and I want to get into it because they have come out with the $10,000 cheaper Cybertruck, but is it worth it? I'm not too sure if it's worth you know, everything that got stripped off of this thing. So let's go ahead and pull it up. Tesla's official website, and you can see it here. One thing to note is the wheel choice. It's also a different wheel, if you look at that.
It's also different suspension.
It's a different suspension.
It doesn't have the air suspension. So it's like, yeah, you're, you know, what's the super high mode called or whatever?
Extract.
Yeah, extract mode, gone.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the few things I think that was like, okay, you want to see the Cybertruck do something cool? Maybe I can sway you. Put it in that full height mode, and you're just like, oh, okay, badass looking, right on. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, now you don't even have that for this.
That was always the thing when you're like at a supercharger and, you know, in the early days, people come up to you and they're talking to you about it and they want to know more about it. And it was always like, hold on, let me show you something. And you jump in the car and you do, and it starts raising and everyone's like, whoa, this is crazy, you know?
I think it was around this time last year. I used to go pick up my kids at school and I would park it across from this little park that's right up the street from the school. Like all the kids go there. And I remember getting out of the Cybertruck because I was going to pick them up in it just to kind of wow everybody. But then I was like, hang on. And then I went into the thing and put it into extract mode. So it'd be like super tall. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Everybody who walked around the corner, they were like, what? What is that? Yeah, it was awesome.
Funny enough, I don't mind these wheels as much as I did the other version that didn't have the aero caps.
I'm in agreement with you. I prefer these wheels than what was. I wonder if this shows you over here.
Put an all-terrain or even like the really like knobby. These. Oh, there you go. You can change the difference. Yeah. Yeah.
I like these more than these.
A nice all-terrain tire or like a really off-road rugged tire on those wheels would actually be really good. But then again, there's no suspension. So it's like, what's the point?
I wonder what the ride height would be in relation to what the air suspension settings were. So is it in medium? Is it in low?
I think it's low.
Okay.
I thought it just lives its life there. Yeah. Mainly because that's going to be the optimal, like, efficiency height. My main thing is I want Sandy Monroe on the job to break this down for us and say, for the savings of $10,000, how much are they really cutting down out of all of these things that they're losing? Because we're not just talking about the suspension. We're also talking about, you know, the tonneau cover. The motor is not there. You only have one motor. Acceleration, yeah.
Yeah.
We're losing the bed outlets. We're losing the lock and diffs, as well as the front motor. Like we said, the rear wheel steering, that's out.
Yeah.
Premium speakers, that's out. The rear touchscreen, that's out.
Yeah.
All the heated seats, all the cooled seats, all that's out.
And it's so wild that it's like it's literally a laundry list of the things that I feel set it apart from another company's attempt at being a truck. Leaving just the aesthetics on the table. Which everybody, you know, assails all the time anyway. But it's like you've literally taken all of the fun out of it.
Yeah. That's where I'm at with it. You're kind of losing a lot of the cool factor out of it. I understand the exterior for a lot of people is the cool factor. But when I'm in the truck and I'm driving it, the exterior is irrelevant to me at that point, other than just getting flipped off.
Yeah.
But,
sorry.
You know, I want...
I mean, it's true.
You know, the interior functionality or features that you're losing the outlets, right? You're losing the outlets inside the truck. So for anybody that wants to have anything plugged in, you're losing that.
Yeah.
The seats, the fact that they're textile seats. I don't know about you, Will, if you've ever been in a Tesla that has these type of seats. You know, they used to do this back, you know, years back. And I never liked them. I never cared for them. So when I heard that they were doing that, that was really a big turnoff for me.
Yeah.
The lighting, I have a picture here that I could show as well. There's a picture of the lighting in the bed of the truck. Let's see if I can find this thing. And so that's something that I don't, oh, here it is. Okay. That just looks real, I don't know. I don't know if you want to say janky, but it just.
For me, I think that this was kind of it's a desperate move, I think, because I think that they're taking out so many things that it's kind of becoming it's cutting off their nose to spite their face. They're nerfing so much of it that they're putting all of this confidence of, okay, well, then you're just telling me that there are people who for $10,000 cheaper just want the shell of the Cybertruck, the look of it. They don't want any of the other stuff. They didn't even attempt to, like, you know, keep the outlets in the car. Like, that's a cabin comfort thing. That should be like almost a modern, yes, we expect this in electric vehicles now. You know, more charging options for the passenger experience. But it just seems like they did so many things that were just like cost saving. And then, yeah, it does all of this that they're cutting out of it actually equate to $10,000 off. And what's left there for you to buy, is it worth it to you? And, you know, I mean, they announced this and I'm like, I haven't really seen too many people being like, yeah, we're seeing sales of the rear-wheel drive Cybertruck really spiking off.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny, even just watching the reaction on X, there's a lot of, like, I would say, like, Tesla influencers that were just, like, it was maybe, like, 20% that were like, yeah, this is great, look at this. And even, like, Wes had this big write-up of, like, all the details, but it looked like someone else had written it for him. Like, yeah. I made the joke that, like, hey, are you okay? Like, are you saying this in your own mind right now? Because, like, Blink do you understand twice. What you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, I think for the most part, the majority of people were just like, ugh. They just cringed at this, and not, like, in a good way. Because, honestly, they had such a big opportunity where they could have came out and made this the $45,000 Cybertruck. Even, okay, better yet, make it 55, so it comes down to, like, 47s and some change with the tax credit. And then they could try to, like, make good on their promise initially from 2018. Yeah. And then it's more like, this is, like, the work version of the truck. We see it with, like, Ford and Chevy all the time, where they have, like, a very stripped-down version of their trucks that's just for work. And that's kind of what this feels like.
Here, I'll put it to the panel. Thought experiment. So I know right now some of the other automakers are offering really aggressive Tesla owner deals to try to attract them into a lease.
Polestar
has like a crazy aggressive one. You know, I'm sure that there are others that are also kind of capitalizing, but Polestar is the one that remembered because it was literally like $20,000 off on the lease. To just, even if you just show a Tesla in somebody's driveway on your phone, apparently that's good enough for them to be like, cool, done, here's your discount. So I'm like, okay, so if we're just going to say one of the competitors is doing $1,000 off something, so for the committee, if Tesla were to come back and say, hey, you know what, for people who are original owners or holders that canceled, we'll bring that list back, and for a limited time, the Foundation series without FSD, but and without some of the PowerShare hardware or something, if they just offered you what they're selling right now is the $80,000, if they offered it to you for $60,000, would you re-up?
100%. Like, if you got the all-wheel version for $60,000, yeah, that's literally what I've been saying. Like,
100%.
Ideally,
it's the $20,000 price mark. So it's like, yeah. So it's kind of sad that it's like you guys aren't taking the situation seriously, and that's what they're going to do to. It's fair to their shareholders. We're going to spend another month or two, sorry, another quarter or two fighting it out before we really try to start moving Cybertrucks to get them going. But yeah. I feel like that's a creative way to possibly attract back a lot of people who have walked away. If you told them, say, hey, look, inflation, whatever, $1,000, you can have the Cybertruck you originally deposited for back in November of 2019. Do you want it?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you'd get a lot of people coming back to the table.
That's where I would have said people would have, you know, bit their lip and just bought the dumbed down version of the Cybertruck for 45. You, even though you don't have all these things, but you still get a Cybertruck for 45. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think you're right. I think the inventory, the longer it sits, it's the harder it's going to be. Like, we've already seen price cuts, so I'm still saying that by the end of the year we see, at least in the used market, we see something that's sub 60. Because I just saw on Facebook today someone had commented that they picked up their Cybertruck today for 65.
Wow.
A used one. Yeah.
You can find it, but just give it time.
Here's the thing. So Tesla just lowered the lease monthly payment on the all-wheel drive Cybertruck.
I thought I saw that, yeah.
And you can see here. So for $5,000 down, they also reduced that. It used to be $7,500. Mm-hmm. Now it's $5,000 down on a 36-month, 10,000-mile lease. You can get an all-wheel drive for $799. Or you can get the long-range variant, is what they're calling it, for $779. So $20 less per month, but you're losing all those features. That
exactly.
makes mm-hmm. absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah,
absolutely
like,
no.
They're slitting their own throat. It's so bizarre.
It's like they're playing chicken with the customers, yeah. and they're just inching towards where they really need to be.
Well, yeah, I think this move, when they just, you know, I think it was today or yesterday that they just reduced the lease payment from $899 to $799. That's clearly them saying, why buy the long range version when for $20 more you can get the all wheel drive? Why? Because all wheel drive are already made. They're sitting on lots. They're ready to go.
Yep.
Buy this one. Here you go. $20 more. So they obviously want you to buy the all wheel drive. So it's almost like the long range is only here to entice you to buy the all-wheel.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it just, like I said, for $10,000 less and only $20 less on a monthly payment, it just makes absolutely no sense.
And look how heavy it is. 0 to 60 in 6.2.
That goes back to what you're saying.
That's the highest Tesla acceleration time, I think, of any of their vehicles.
You're losing all the fun, right? Yeah. You're losing all the fun. And here, think about this. Think about this. What has been the biggest issue with the Cybertruck so far? The inverter's going out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the all-wheel drive, you have two motors. You have two inverters. So every time my inverter, well, I shouldn't say every time, because that time I got stranded at camping, that didn't work out well. But the other two times that my inverter went out, and it disabled one of the motors, whether it's the rear or the front.
Mm-hmm.
I still had the other motor going to where I was able to drive to the service center to get it repaired.
Yeah.
If you only have one motor and one inverter and these inverters are still going out, because guess what, guys? I know a lot of people have been telling me, just go back to the Cybertruck. You're not going to have any more issues. They fixed it all. I have two friends with 40,000 plus, almost 50,000 VIN, and their inverters just went out. So Tesla does not have this under control like they want us to believe or what people may say. Unfortunately, and I like Tesla. I like the Cybertruck. I don't want to deal with that anymore. Here, when you have one motor, one inverter, if that inverter goes out, which I would bet money it's going to, you're out. You're going to be stranded on the side of the road, or like our good friend Brian, who came on to this podcast a few months ago, stated when his inverter went out, his car just stalled in the middle of the road. Early morning, it was pitch black, his blinkers, his hazard lights, nothing would work. So he was a sitting duck. You don't want to be that. So that's also an issue.
And I think that this is a valuable point for, you know, the question of, okay, why don't car manufacturers kind of really aggressively try to bring new hardware, new vehicle designs, drastic changes in just the infrastructure, not even something that faces the customer, but something that you're doing as a cost saving measure and you're going out there to advocate for, like the 48 volt infrastructure and the Ethernet run modules that control the Cybertruck. It was a bold plan. On paper, it's one of those, yes, this is absolutely the kind of thinking that we need in electric vehicles and all transportation to make a hospitable technological future where everybody has their tablets, whatever they're riding in, whether it's a van, a Tesla van someday or something like that. They have power standards that they're going to need to attend to. And this is the first vehicle that they've made where it has this kind of aggressive. It's got 220 volt out the back. It's got as many 110 volts as well. And then also 48 volt ability to tap into it. It's such a drastic change in the architecture. There were going to be mistakes. Every engineer, we're human. We make mistakes, or, you know, someone doesn't dot the I, or, hey, wait till version two. We really got it figured out on that one. I feel like this is just a symptom of kind of where we've all felt, where the Cybertruck felt like it was kind of sold prematurely in a business sense, but also maybe in an engineering sense, like they didn't really put it through the paces that they should have. And now they're kind of having to answer for a lot.
I think they had a lot of market pressure too. You look at like all the other EV trucks that were like rushing the market to beat them, and they did.
Yes.
And they were just like, oh, okay, we can't sit on this longer. I think, maybe making some of those decisions earlier could have saved them in the long. Yeah, now it feels like they're paying a little bit of catch up, but
Well, I think 100%. I think they felt a lot of pressure, right? Because everybody, I mean, including myself, was going, when are we going to get the Cybertruck? You know, what's taking so long? And so I'm worried that maybe they took a little, they sped it up a little bit too much, and that's kind of where there's been some issues, but I understand they felt the pressure. They had to put something out in their minds, but it's been tough. Real quick, Hugo is in chat. So what's up, Hugo? How's it going? Good evening. He says, what's the good news? Well, we're talking all things rear-wheel drive, Cybertruck, and how we just feel like it's not worth the value of what you're paying.
There's a lot of unfortunate news in this podcast. The one good news is that Eric did land on a vehicle, but we haven't heard that
yet. Thanks, Chase, for getting people to yell at me again.
Other good news is
here's some good news.
Damn it, Chase.
Oh, the inventory is coming in.
The inventory has been heavily reduced. As you can see here, $8,000, at least this is in my area, but $8,000 reduction in price on some of these demo vehicles, which, you know, once again, I mean, you're inching, you know, you're getting closer and closer, but you're at $72,000. For a Cybertruck, which is not horrible, you know, it's much cheaper than what we paid.
Speaking of demo vehicles, that was actually news this week, is that they're now offering 2-day demo drives with the Cybertruck.
Okay.
Which is huge, because that's exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, 2 days. That's the whole reason, you know, I was getting on Turo, is because that wasn't even a thing, but now they're offering it.
Yeah. So they're just killing the Turo. I mean, Turo market was already getting killed.
Oh, yeah. Brutally.
It's probably just killed that altogether.
But that's really where it should be. Like, having, especially with a new kind of new car like this, like having it for a couple of days, you really need that to be sure. Maybe you could get away with just doing a quick test drive like a Model Y and you kind of get it. But with this one, since it's so different, you probably would want to take more time.
Kim Kardashian needs like the full weekend with it, is what I've heard. So
it comes with an Optimus bot in the backseat.
She needs time with Optimus to get to know him and stuff.
It's been quite a while since we've had a Kim Kardashian drop. So Will's back, and first, you know, we're 30 minutes in, and he's already. So Hugo,
I'll make a dildo reference here in a minute. Really reach back into the history.
So Hugo, I don't know, Will, if you've heard the news, but Hugo got his Cybertruck. I'm not sure if you were on. So Hugo has his. He agrees a dual motor is the best value. We have Environmental Canadian says, cheers from Canada. I got a dual motor Cybertruck 2 weeks ago. Congratulations. I'm loving it so far. Peace, Calvin. So, yeah, no, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I agree. A dual motor is the way to go right now if you're going to get a Cybertruck 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I highly, highly recommend people pass on the rear-wheel drive. We have CT in chat. He says Cybertruck is still the most interesting vehicle in the world. It's definitely the most polarizing. That's for sure. There's no question about that.
I mean, look at all the car manufacturers that are now interested in doing steer-by-wire and all the other things. I don't think we would have had all the other EV trucks in the market today if it wasn't for the Cybertruck. It definitely was the spearhead that the industry needed.
100%. I think for some of the things that I will complain about with Cybertruck because of my experiences, I still think that a lot of things that they did with the Cybertruck and how they, like you just mentioned, kind of pushed the industry for more EV trucks. I mean, that alone is a win, I think, in a lot of ways, because... Yeah. I mean, the Lightning, they pushed out the Lightning real quick, Ford did, you know, to try to beat the Cybertruck and, you know, beat them to market, I mean. And then, obviously, you know, GM is going all in because they have the Hummer truck, they have the Silverado, they have the Sierra, you know. And then now you have, you know, Rivian with the R1T. And so it's just, there's going to be more and more and more coming out. So it's good news. I wanted to talk about the earnings call. That was yesterday. So unfortunately, Tesla didn't hit the marks that they were with the industry or what people thought they were going to hit, as well as I think what they wanted to hit.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of reasons, I think, for this. Obviously, there's a lot of political reasons. There's a lot of Elon reasons, Elon plus political. I know Tesla is blaming a lot of it with the new Model Y that they just released and how that transition kind of slowed them down. But the numbers are the numbers. And at the end of the day, investors want to know what the numbers are, and that's all they care about.
Yeah.
And so, as you can see here, Tesla's revenue was down 9% year over year, which is not great. They had a 20% drop in automotive revenue, which that also then tells you how, if there's a 9% year over year, but a 20% for the automotive, what does that tell you for all the other things? So they had an uptick in their energy storage. So that's great news, but their vehicles was down.
Which, I mean, I think after the market, even today, like it's still up 5% even after that news. So the thing is, I think the investors at least are responding more to the news about Robotaxi and the Optimus robot more so than the vehicle sales.
I also think that they've been anticipating this. Like, you know, the stock price has settled to where it is over the last several weeks, political or just because of all the wind around Tesla sales and people, you know, there's been a lot of the negative sentiment has turned to vandalism that I've seen show up as now it's a part of the Tesla insurance means that, you know, people are wondering if they're paying higher rates because they drive a Tesla and blah, blah, blah. I think that it probably was already priced in a little bit. And I think that now they're just in a point where it's like normally the Tesla stock would continue to go back up. Good news or bad news, you know, it floats to where it's supposed to. But I get a feeling that this time they're kind of waiting to see what happens next. Like they've got a lot of decisions to make. And they've got a lot of faith to reestablish as far as the leadership is concerned.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Over the last month, it's only been down only 10% even after today. So
yeah.
Makes sense. It's been pretty,
which is still like, yeah, for a $250 stock to settle down to 220. I mean, 10% to, you know, when you're investing properly, 10% doesn't with one stock doesn't hurt so much, but there are a lot of people deep on Tesla and that's,
yeah.
And I think that it's a lot of reflection of them being like, okay guys, we're over whatever the last year or two has been. We want to see a car company again. We want to see Tesla again.
Which and it's still up 75% over the year.
So. The stock?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was down by the time last year.
Down from the peak, yeah. It's down what 35% from almost the peak. So yeah, it's
taking a hit. So Environmental Canadian says Tesla's FSD is a game changer for me. It's amazing. I use it for 95% of my driving. I've parked my 2022 Model Y until I can use it in a robo-taxi network. I 100% agree. You know, that was one thing that in my videos that I've been posting of me test driving the Hummer, the Sierra, the Silverado, and the Rivian R1. It's very apparent, and I already knew this, but actually driving those vehicles, that FSD is just way ahead of any type of autonomous driving features that any other manufacturer is offering at this moment. And none of them are anywhere near FSD.
But I do think that it's worth bringing back in, and this is a software thing. So I think Chase might be kind of in agreement. It's like, you know, FSD's absolutely as far as automakers clobber and everything. But the work that they're doing with Comma AI with their system and the integration into Rivian, I feel like somebody is starting to really kind of push them to get to the forefront because that is the what we've talked about FSD being a licensed product to other manufacturers. Mm-hmm. Comma AI may be on the verge of if they could get more data pumped through their system, they could have something that literally out of the box goes to other manufacturers as opposed to needing to be adapted from the Tesla suite.
Yeah,
definitely contender.
Plug in type of deal.
Full circle though, a few episodes ago we talked about the whole Mark Rober fiasco with his video.
Yeah.
Where he tested basically Hardware 3. So the same guy, I'm blanking on his name, I'll bring it up in a minute. He tested again more of the other tests. So he basically took the Cybertruck and then Hardware 4 Model Ys and did the same test against the wall. And every single time FSD on Hardware 4 would stop and not see, it would basically see the wall and stop. Hardware 3 would not see the wall and didn't stop. So that was definitive. But he took it a step further even and started doing the other tests from that video, like the hard rain, those tests all passed. He couldn't get Hardware 4 FSD to blow through the rain and hit the pedestrian.
Yeah, yeah. See, this is my problem with all of the YouTuber gotcha, whether it's, you know, Tim O'Dowd or whatever his name is, the guy who normally is like constantly pushing. I just feel like if everybody would just take 10 seconds to just be like, okay, let's all agree on like level 3 autonomy vehicles. We need to have a test. You know, call it the modern Turing test or whatever, but for the different levels of autonomy where it's like it needs to respect autonomy first and then AI second. So you're like, all right, what does it need to do level 3 autonomy? It needs to drive from point A to point B using surface streets multiple times in a row with roughly the same environmental conditions and repeat the exact same drive each time without significant variance with no question. Like, oh, why did it change lanes this time? But the last time it waited till the last minute to get over. Oh, was it learning? You know, just set metrics instead of everybody just putting up fake walls and driving cars towards them and be like, it didn't work. We got you, Elon. You know, it's just such, it's such unscientific stuff, especially for Mark Rober and, you know, for the NASA guy. I'm like, dude, like, can we just like create a standard for everybody and then maybe having a target to hit instead of making your own design for something and then kind of sticking with it. You know, I love Mark's videos. I think that they're all great. Same. I think that it falls into the danger of the show Mythbusters, where you have to have a lot of really smart people come up with what ultimately is like a very ersatz representation of the thing you're testing. You know, you're going to see if a penny dropped from the Empire State Building would go through somebody's head. Mm-hmm. You don't know, and you can't necessarily verifiably say forever and stuff. But I think that that's what people do with FSD. They come up with this design of a thing that they insist should work no matter what. And it's like, okay, but where are the testing conditions that you've given to them to try to achieve that? Instead, we all just jumped into the middle of the story and expected somebody else to tell us how we got here. So I just find it's really frustrating. And that's somebody who's owned FSD a number of times. I wanted to get there. I want to be able to fall asleep in my car and wake up at work. But until everybody starts working together on it instead of just making these gotcha videos, mm-hmm. I feel like we're just constantly just annoying everybody else, mostly just me.
It's getting there. It's pretty close. I just saw speaking of the robotaxi news, is that they're starting robotaxis with Model Ys here in Austin.
Yeah. They're up now.
I guess former or current employees have access to it. Mm-hmm. And then they have a driver in the front seat, obviously, just for safety in the short term.
Fail safe because probably the legislation requires or whatever.
That's cool. I mean, it's getting there, and that means that, I mean, we're that much closer to having, you know, robotaxis in Austin in June, which was kind of the goal.
Yeah, that's actually pretty crazy that they're already pushing that so, you know, forward already so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. I mean, you know, I had FSD on my Model X before I had to let it go, and when you use, I think that people who've never ridden with it a bunch don't realize how good it is. They just hear that it runs into this wall and all this stuff. And these are outliers, but, you know, accident rate is of everybody's concern because you got to pay for the car. So I get it that you're going to be paranoid if all the news stories you read are about how it ran over somebody in a crosswalk or something like that. But when you ride in it with somebody who knows how to use it as set up, it's really incredible. It works so well. Nobody else has something that level. Just, hey, turn into the Ralph's parking lot. Go, you know, put me towards the front of the store. It can do so much compared to, you know, Ford or other losers. But,
or how about Waymo?
Oh yeah, and then you got Waymo.
I saw this the other day. These two Waymos are just—they don't know what to do.
Yeah. And these are the edge cases that they should be testing for, and then doing the next gen of testing, like when I was talking about when you have the cars be like, okay, establish that they can all stop when they see a cat of this size in the road or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And then you get to questions like this. What happens if you get stuck in an intersection with other vehicles and you're blocked in? You know, it's like, these are things that they have to code for. They have to program it in.
I think a tough one's going to be the low vis, like at like dawn and dusk where you're driving directly into the sun. I was thinking about this today of like, it's going to be a really hard thing to even plan for, but even as like a human driver, it's really difficult because you're like with the visor and even with sunglasses, it's difficult. So I'm even wondering if like, because it's a robotaxi service, that they might kind of limit that service around certain times that they know that the sun's going to be at that perfect angle, or even choose a different router.
I will also say this, and I think that this is something that needs to just be put into the equation heading into the future, is that if you want, as a country, if we want to accelerate manufacturability to achieve autonomy on our roads, we got to make our roads suck way less. Like, 100%. They have to be well painted. They have to be clear and logical in some way, at least or programmable, so that at least the car computers know what they're doing on the city streets. There has to be some give to make it modern, because it can't just all be, hey, my car is like just, you know, Mad Maxing its way through San Francisco or something. It needs to have something predictable. We need to have like a uniformity that they can all then code to. And the fact that, you know, you go to one part of town, you're like, oh, their lines are here. And then you go to another part of town, like, it hasn't seen like lane markers in years. And that's a part of the problem. at least especially according to the Rivian. The Rivian's constantly like, lane lines not detected, turn off autopilot. And you're like, ugh.
Well, that was, you know, it's not FSD, but, you know, in the Super Cruise with, I forget which one. I don't know if it was the Sierra or the Hummer when I was driving it. And we enabled it. There was a portion of the freeway that the lines weren't very clear. And what it will do is it'll just turn off. It'll turn off the Super Cruise because it's going, hey, I can't see.
Yep.
You take over.
So no one can.
Yeah.
Barrels into the wall.
So, I mean, obviously Tesla and FSD is way better than that. And it's able to kind of navigate that much better. I mean, in the Cybertruck, I rarely had any disengagements. The only time I had them is because I was disengaging it because I was having that hugging the left lane or going over the lines into the left lane. But other than that, I mean, the thing was pretty flawless, to be honest with you. So FSD is just, it's crazy. It's crazy good. And it's only going to get better. You know, that's kudos to Tesla for that. And it's, you know, with the robo taxis coming out, that's going to be something that's going to be very, very interesting to see how that affects Tesla and their earnings and the future. One thing to note too is Giga Texas.
Yes.
The castings, which are,
we're robo-taxi,
assuming is going to be the, you know, robo-taxi, the cyber cab, because this is in Texas. It's not Cybertruck or Model Y castings. So, you know, the only other logical thing to assume would be the cyber cab, right?
Which would make sense because, I mean, roll it out with Model Ys in the summer for the public. And then as soon as these come online, they kind of start folding them in. But those are a lot.
There's a lot of
them. They're going full bore.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. So that's, you know, that's cool to see that, like you said, I mean, they're targeting June for the Model Y. And then, you know, now you're seeing that they're already making the casting. So if this is indeed the Cybercab, I mean, it's coming. Or can we speculate? And I wish Will was here right now, but is this the $25,000 lower cost Tesla that was been rumored for years now? And then supposedly, and I think we talked about this a few episodes ago, Elon nixed, but now is coming back because they need that revenue. They need, you know, to get people excited again. They're talking about towards the end of this year. So could this be that, you know, or I know Chase, you speculated on that Cybercab also $25,000 Tesla. Is it both?
The reason why is I think that they're going to lose the battle of the steering wheel. I think at the end of the day, Elon's not going to win that fight of not having a steering wheel in it just yet. Maybe, you know, a few years down the road, but I think coming out with a fully autonomous car right off the bat, I don't think it's going to work. Just yet.
And it would naturally just make sense, right? If you're going to have a steering wheel in the Cybercab, just sell the thing, you know, where it doesn't need to be a robo-taxi. It could just be your vehicle, and it's going to cost you, you know.
It'll still drive itself. It's just, it'll have a steering wheel for backup during a robo-taxi event. If not, you know, you drive it around as a cheap vehicle. You can
still put it into the fleet. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's, I think that's what's going to happen here. We have Jay in chat. Jay. What's going on, Jay? Thank you for joining us. LJ, as always, thank you, LJ, for joining us. You know, Jay's a huge fan of FSD, so he's saying nothing can replace FSD, which
100%.
Nothing can duplicate it, that's for sure.
I keep having the same conversation with people that ask me about my Lightning, because I've had both the Cybertruck and the Lightning, and I think there's a big difference between, obviously, the off-road capability, like that's a big kind of selling point, but the FSD is probably the second biggest, because if you're going to be going on long road trips, 100% you need to go with the Cybertruck just for FSD for road trips. Like that alone is huge.
It's,
I mean, Blue Cruise is okay, but it's not what, you know, Jerry Riggs says.
Jerry Riggs got a lot of things to say. So I wanted to show the Cyber Rodeo.
Yeah, I unfortunately didn't get to go for a reason we'll talk about soon.
Yeah, you weren't able to go, but I wanted to
show Cyber Rodeo. It went off without a hitch. I believe they had almost 200 trucks
Wow
out there. So definitely more than last year. Looked like a lot of fun. They went on a new track with a jump this time. So that's exciting. It's not as big of a jump as what was down south that I hit, but still it was something where it gave some Cybertrucks the chance to get some airborne time in there. So that's really cool.
And I see some Cybertrucks with the rooftop tents up there. Yeah. The light bars. You can see that people are really leaning into the off-road experience with their Cybertrucks, which I think is super cool. We've talked about it many, many times. It's getting a lot of people that weren't truck guys, didn't do a lot of the truck things, to go and do those things. And I think that's what's really cool.
Yeah, that's the best part of it. And honestly, an event like this, if you're anywhere near Texas, I would definitely keep an eye out for it as more like an annual thing at this point, because it's the perfect opportunity for you to, in a controlled environment, have fun with your truck off-road. Now, I know for a fact, though, they only had one flat out of like 50 plus jumps and rides around the track.
That's not bad.
This one in particular, though, like I said, people were riding hard.
Oh, wow. He didn't land it as smoothly as you.
No, it's funny because I made the same comment about this. Like, it's cringy. I'll have to find the photo. There's another one that also hit it at this kind of speed and situation. Here we go. And it was a perfect photo from Aaron Gonzalez. I'll send it to you, of exactly that. And what causes this is that you're going at full speed, you hit the jump, and then you just let off the accelerator.
Oh, I think we lost.
Oh,
dramatic pause.
You hit the jump, you let off the accelerator as you hit the jump, and then your front just dips because the wheels stop spinning. But yeah, this one was another one that came down pretty hard. And I'm shocked that the airbags didn't go off.
Yeah, that is extreme. And the guy left his fairings on. So
yeah, this is pretty crazy.
Not like this guy.
Oh yeah, this one was perfect. Like, I think, and that's the thing, is like if you're ever out at one of these events, or even find a jump that you can find do local in one of these things, basically as you're going into the jump, accelerate through the jump, and then as soon as you land, that's when you let off the accelerator, because the wheels spinning in the air is going to keep you level.
Yeah, I think that the natural instinct is to, oh, you're in the air, oh man, yeah,
you're gonna brace your impact.
Yeah,
you're also, if you're used to driving a normal truck, you release the throttle and it idles, as opposed to this, if it's even touching the ground, you come off early, it's going to apply some brake or regeneration to the wheels, and can't you really bad?
Yeah, that's true. It's very true.
So even though, I mean, in off-road mode, regen is turned off, but I think because of the motors, it still slows to a stop much faster than in the air than if you would with like a gas vehicle. So needless to say, I couldn't make it to the rodeo. I'm sad, but I'll definitely make it next year. I know I said that last year, but third time's a charm.
Now, the big question is going to be, next year, what vehicle are you going to have? Because you've gone through vehicles like nobody's business.
What happened?
What happened? So, well, yeah, the question is kind of up in the air. Unfortunately, I believe it's 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago now. I'm coming home with my wife from dinner and was in the wrong place at the right time, trying to pull out of a convenience store, and ended up getting T-boned by a Subaru Legacy, and everyone's fine, everyone's okay, but yeah, it was definitely something that shook us up and ruined the whole side of the vehicle and the lightning. If you get the pics of the video,
yeah, I didn't know if you wanted me to share that, but the pics,
yeah, you can if you want.
Okay,
I mean, I've already put it online too, just not the dash cam. Yeah, so 5 vehicles total in this accident, just in our part of it. And there was a few other accidents that happened just up on this highway, because it's really a dangerous strip of highway. It's like a double lane highway with no median in the middle, and it's just got a turn lane in the center.
Let me see if I can...
Trucks up there. Yeah. So this is kind of the aftermath of what happened. We ended up getting hit on right passenger side, and you can see the car now on fire, because within 4 minutes of getting hit, we assessed the problem. We knew everyone was okay. Even the driver of the burning vehicle got out immediately, and we basically saw the car was smoking and pulled it back, and then even in that video, you see me pulling it back even further just to get it away, because burning vehicle with an EV battery just is going to be a bad time, which I was even joking with the first responders. That's just ironic that the gas vehicle is the one burning and it's not the EV, because I've been told the other way around on all the internets. I don't know. Apparently my EV caught that gas vehicle on fire somehow, which I think what ended up happening is that someone had pulled out in front of her, basically made two unsafe lane changes right in front of her. They collided, her wheel sheared off, and then she basically was skidding along the road, and then even like crashed through the ditch and then landed into us. It bent in our side skirt and then panel. And I think what happened is that she must have cut a fuel line or something, and then it was leaking, and then all the sparks from dragging along concrete is what caught fire. It was on fire within 4 minutes. I went back and watched the footage and the timestamps. It's crazy, but we're all okay. That's all good. I think just even the girl that was in the car that hit us, she just had a couple of stitches, some bruises and things, but literally walked up and got away from that. So shout out, if anything, to
and the good news.
Shout out to Subaru.
Go ahead.
I was going to say shout out to Subaru, because that was amazing that car went through that, because the speeds are up to 60 miles an hour in that road, so it could have been really bad.
Yeah, I mean, it was, everybody left that walking, so that's great. And
car did its job.
Exactly, and I was actually, you didn't have any of the kiddos with you, so that was, that was great, they didn't have to experience any of that either, so we're happy everybody's safe, and, Hugo says, glad Chase and his wife are okay, so yes, I 100% echo that, so.
Yeah, I know my wife is shook up a little bit over it, but we're all good, and then so I was kind of questioning of like, okay, what's the damage going to be like? Cause we were literally hit right in the middle of the side low where the battery is. So I was worried about possibly, having damage to the battery and all the other things that could potentially total it. But we took it into Ford, and they looked at it and they basically were confident that there's not going to be any damage to the battery. Initial estimate came out just under like 7,000 to repair it all. So it's in getting repaired as we speak, and we haven't had any update since then. So hopefully nothing has changed since then, and they haven't found anything more. So that's always kind of the question when they start tearing. So hopefully they don't find anything new or worse. So we can hopefully get our truck back. But
yeah,
it's a tough place to be in. I'm happy we're safe, but I don't like having a truck that's got a record now. And then even if they would total it, then I'd be kind of SOL as well, because I would have to go try to find another great deal of a truck if I want to get back into a Lightning, or still be almost a year away from a Cybertruck.
Well, I don't know, Chase, if you heard, but Cybertruck just came out with the rear wheel drive variant. That's $10,000 cheaper.
Bargain.
If you want to go ahead and pick up one of those, it'd be great content. You can report back to us.
I want to see someone buy one of those, bring it to the Cyber Rodeo next year, and let's see how much air that can take.
We'll see what happens. Well, once again, I'm glad everybody's okay. Mm-hmm. See what happens with your Lightning. Hopefully that all works out for you, but you can always just go get a Cybertruck.
Good. I mean,
make things whole. Bring it eventually. Full circle.
Eventually full circle. Like I haven't sworn off it at all. Although I think it's gonna be a really hard sell for me is the Frunk. Like, I really like the Frunk and the Lightning. Like, the fact that there's no outlet in the Frunk and the Cybertruck, it's just
wrong. Yeah. Well, it loses some functionality. But I mean, once again, if you get the rear wheel drive version, and you lose outlets everywhere. So
yeah true.
So, all right, guys. Well, that's all I have. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to touch on before we end the stream?
No.
A lot of stuff happened, but see where it goes.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate everybody that joined us in chat. Hugo, Environmental Canadian, thank you for joining us. Jay, LJ, Chris, CT, everybody that joined us. We appreciate you guys, and we'll see you guys next week.
Later. Yep.